This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Pastor William Corizon is a father. He's a husband. He's a pastor. We always refer to Pastor William as pastor. We've been pastors for 16, 17 years, but Pastor William is still Pastor William. And we literally respect you, William. You and Renee have been... how many of you in the church, I know that it's been many years, how many of you have received marriage prep or marriage ministry from Pastor William? William, kan jy net omdraai nie, asseblief? Kijk, William, is baie, baie mense. Hier is kinders by dosyne as gevolg van jou bediening. Amen. So thank you so much. Thank you so much. So Pastor William in 1998 planted the Tigerberg congregation, the congregation from whom Cape Town Church, Rondebosch Church, us, Tableview, Delft, Belleville, and many, many of Brackenfell, many of the other churches sprung from this congregation that you planted many years ago. And in 2010, 2009, you planted Bethany Church, where you're still pastoring. Pastor William is a man of integrity, a man whom we love and respect. He's gifted in ministry. So when we started with the series, when we planned the series for Better Together, we knew that I don't know anyone more gifted to minister into human connection, into ministry, into marriage, into parenthood than you. So it was such a delight to invite you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your humility and your grace. For those who know William and Renee well, know that they are humble people. And so let's put our hands together and honor William Corizon.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Ross. It's good to be back. Amen. It's good to be here with you. Just want to say about this pastor and his wife. I went to Johannesburg, well, more specifically Pretoria, many years ago, and their hospitality overwhelmed me. I'll never forget that. Always welcome in the house. They were just married, and they allowed me into their house. I just want to say thank you for the relationship that we've had for many, 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 many years. In fact, Magriet came to fetch me at the airport one year, and they were not married yet. And I walked straight to Ross and said, "Jy moet 'n plan maak, en hierdie meisiekind moet jy trou." Yeah. Good. Yeah, so that is one of my, claim to fame. I made a right call on this one, definitely. So thank you so much. And when he asked me to come and minister, I didn't hesitate. I came immediately. Ek is Afrikaans, soos Afrikaans kan wees. Regte na Makwaland, julle Pretorianers moet ons kom leer Afrikaans praat. Ja, julle ronde mondjie Afrikaans. Yeah, so this morning I will minister in English, and I trust the Lord that it will really be a blessing to you. My wife Renee can't be with us this morning, and she's at the church here at Durbanville, and it's necessary for her to be present. But she will definitely be here tonight, she and my 25-year-old son. I also have a daughter from the same lady, just for the record. Yeah, she's 29. She's a medical officer in Groteskier. And yeah, we can talk about that tonight. I know that time constraints will limit me to expand or maybe to just to go into depth as far as certain aspects of life and especially marriage life is concerned. So please forgive me if I don't go in and explain. I just want to awaken some of the things that I believe that you've heard. I am convinced that this is one of the most important areas that you need to minister into. And I was sharing with Ross, and he was actually shocked to hear that for more than 10 years, I hardly spoke about marriage or marriage relationships at all. On the one hand, was a sense of pride that I can actually minister on any other topic. You know, that's what we sometimes do as ministers. And it's so wrong because God places a specific gifting upon your life, and you need to respect that, and you need to honor that. And so it's important for us to minister in areas that God really put a blessing upon. And when it comes to the house or to your home, it is an intimate place. It's a private place. And God gets a message if you allow him into your private space. And I really believe that this is what the Lord is trying to do to all of us. You can look around. Morality has been redefined in society. You can go around and you find out truth is now relative. What used to be true 10 years ago is no longer truth right now. But it's important that you still hear from the Word of God. Now, for me, it's an important concept that you and I need to affirm, that you and I need to embrace in our lives. The truth does not set you free. Now I've got your attention, don't I? The truth doesn't set you free. Knowing the truth does. Knowing the truth does. That is why we need to hear it over and over and over and over and over again until the Word becomes flesh. You can't cognitively, intellectually just hear the Word of God and think that just because you have cognitive abilities that you can remember well, that this will eventually filter out and come out fruitful. No, you need to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it until the Word speaks to you from the inside. People ask me many times, how do I know that the Word of God lives in me, just like John chapter 7 is saying. The Word lives in you when it speaks to you from the inside. So I pray, God, that you don't be selective. This man and his wife, God chose to take over the ministry after I left at Tigerberg. And the evidence is overwhelming that this was God's choice. I pray that you honor God's choice. That you hear and apply what you hear from the pulpit. And don't be selective in saying, I'll attend twice a month or thrice a month. No, you need to hear, until it speaks to you from the inside. Amen. I actually don't know where to start. That's how dangerous this topic is. But I want you to start. Just go to the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And kom ons lees saam in 1 Corinthians hoofstuk 10. En dan vat ons dit van daar af. We'll take it from there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I don't know whether you'll be able to put it on the screen, but I'll appreciate that if somebody can follow in their Bibles. I sometimes get irritated with my own congregation because the young people just take out their phones. But I'm giving away my age. That's actually what happens. I'll be 60 in a few months' time. And married for, this is my 31st year. And my wife, you can see, she did a good job. Yeah, I'm trying to show you I've got a six-pack. I actually don't. Without this button, I have no six-pack. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And allow me just to read the first 13 verses, and then I will minister. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. I want you to listen. I can't expand on this, but this is maybe a good topic for some of you preachers to think about. Why wasn't God pleased with his own people? And there are five specific sins that God highlighted that they did not master, that they did not really pay attention to. Now listen to this. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things. That's the first one. As they also lusted. And do not become idolaters, that's the second one, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, that's another one. As some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, that's another one. And were destroyed by serpents, nor complain, that's the fifth one. As some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation. So there's where that scripture comes into context. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now I'm going to talk this morning about those examples that we see that God refers to. There's an interesting word for example. It's the word typos that you find in the scriptures, and Paul uses it quite often. Typos is nothing else than the side of a typewriter where the letter is, like a stamp is. Now it's so important that we set the right example, that on the typos right there, that the right letter, that the letter must be spelled correctly, that the sentence must actually say something meaningful. Because the truth is, you are imprinting, that's what the word actually means, you are imprinting yourself on somebody else's life. You are imprinting your values. You are imprinting what is important to you, your lifestyle. Who you are is what your children will become. Not what you say. Who you are is what your children will become. Who you are will be reflected in your wife. She's glowing, so you must be doing a good job. Amen. And that's so important. I am measured by my impression that I make upon Renee. I remember years ago, I was a systems analyst for 18 years in the IT industry. I worked in Johannesburg for 11 years. And I used to pray during lunchtime. Say lunchtime. Amen. Some people didn't get that. Lunchtime. Don't go and pray and preach at your job. You're stealing. Say, Aina. Oh, okay, that's important to me because I used to close my door and I used to pray during lunchtime. And I'll never forget, this was in October 1989. I still remember that. While I was praying in the Spirit, I was praying in tongues, and I remember hearing the Lord's voice at that specific time. I was praying until I had a sense of peace. And I heard this: you are responsible for what you are doing, but I hold you accountable for what you should have done. And even though I was climbing the ladder in the corporate world, you know, you get recognition, and as a man of color, that time to be recognized and to be remunerated the way I was, that was quite an accomplishment then. But sometimes we ignore what God has placed within us. And I'm saying this because one of the things, and I can certainly elaborate about it, because God has called me when I was still a child. God called me into the ministry. Thank God for mothers that stirs and awakens these realities in our lives. And I understood that my future was not to be in the corporate world that God wanted me to minister. But I distinctly remember in that specific expression how God said to me, one day I will look you in the eye and I will ask you, what have you done with the wife I gave you? And I want to say to those of you married men, listen to me, ladies. It's wonderful to say he's my husband. It's wonderful to say she's my wife. But I want you to know there's a day coming when God will look you in the eye and he'll ask you, what have you done with the wife I gave you? Now, when I heard that, I was just almost a year married by that time. I shook in my boots because I thank God for my Dutch Reformed background, because they taught me the fear of the Lord, the fear of God. You know, in charismatic circles of which I am part of, we've become casual. God has become our buddy. And I want to say to you, he's going to knock on your door. He is going to knock on your door some other time. And I will talk about that, because I want to take you through some of the examples of men of old. I'm going to go through Adam, I'm going to talk about Abram, I'm going to talk about Isaac, and I'm going to talk about Jacob. And I pray, God, that in these examples, God wants you to copy these men, as it were. There is a reason why he says, I want to be called the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I trust God that he'll have the liberty to say, the God of William Corison. That's what God wants you and I to have the identity with and the identity for. It's wonderful to have. Listen to me. I earned more than 40,000 rand in the 90s, early 90s. That's a lot of money. Flying around the country, staying in the best. It's one thing to have finances. It's one thing to have recognition. But it's something else to have God feeling pleased with you. And that's my goal. That's why I want to stand before God. And believe me, I have had many opportunities. Renee has allowed me lots of times to repent. Tonight you'll see, if she was here, she would have said amen and amen and amen. So I'm going to talk about your marriage, about your house, which God will approach. And I really believe in my heart, Ross, God is saying, I'm introducing a new season here amongst you. I'm going to make myself at home in many of your dwelling places. God wants to be felt. God wants to be heard. God wants to be recognized. That is what intimacy is all about. I really believe we need to give God a message. You're welcome. God wants to hear whether you're vulnerable. Sometimes we as men, we have this macho image. My grandfather was an Afrikaner man. So ek weet waarvan ek praat. Ons huil nie sommer nie. Ons is sterk voor almal. Jy praat soos jy wil en jy kom weg met moord. Now that's just some of the weaknesses. But there's wonderful, wonderful positives about my background. But I really want you to understand there's a vulnerability that you and I need to embrace, as it were. Because God is going to put his finger on issues that you need to address. Amen. So let me start off by saying, some of you know this expression. Some of you have heard me say this before, but I would just like to give you a definition of marriage so that you can make it yours, make it your own. What is marriage? Marriage is an unconditional commitment to another imperfect person. Say that again. Kom ons sê dit in Afrikaans. Dis 'n onvoorwaardelike toewyding aan nog 'n feilbare persoon. An unconditional commitment to another, that includes you. You're not perfect. To another imperfect person. Marriage is the school of character. Marriage God has given so that you can grow. You and I will have to find ourselves in the school of character where you learn to make right the wrong, where you learn to repent, where you learn to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Because God has designed marriage in such a way that you won't know him by your own efforts only, by your own research and your own studies only. There is some revelation that God will only give to Ross through his wife. So you and I must understand it's a place of intimacy where you respect her, where you respect him. That's why one of the major problems in the church is communication. Communication. One of the major problems in marriage is the lack of communication. You know what Jesus calls it? Hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. There's 5 reasons why people divorce. 5 reasons. People divorce because of spiritual incompatibilities. People divorce because of finances. People divorce because of a lack of love and sexual love, more specifically. Amen? People divorce... Did I say money? Wow. Did I say finances? People divorce... One of the major reasons that people divorce. I'll get the other one later, but this is the main one. Because those four, I call it romance. Number four is romance. Love and sex is one thing, romance is another. Just write down if you want to make a note of this. Romance is not a means to an end. Romance is a lifestyle. Why do you think the Song of Solomon is in the middle of the Bible? There's a reason it must be central also in your relationship with God. Very important that you hear what I'm saying here today. But the fifth one, communication. By far the reason. In other words, Jesus was, and just to clarify that, Jesus was challenged by the Pharisees because they were trying to trick him. They wanted to know, why did Moses give us a certificate of divorce? And without hesitation, he says, because of the hardness of your heart. Hardness of heart means, amongst many things, it means, I don't have to listen to you, I know it all. Or I speak before she could actually answer. I think for her, I speak for her, I don't allow her to express herself. How arrogant can that be? In this girl, in this lady, lives the living God. In all His fullness. So why don't you ask Him? Why don't you ask her? What do you think? What do you feel? This is so important when it comes to intimacy. You give a message that you matter. You give a message that God can speak through you. Yes, men are known, you know, in fact, there's no biblical evidence that the man is the priest of the home. We've used that expression and claim it as if the man is the priest of the home. Ross, I'm going to leave that. I'm going to leave this afternoon. You can explain that. I leave that with him. Now you're both priests. That's the point. But of course, technically, you can just phrase it in such a way by saying, but I am the priest of the house. What does the priest of the house do? The priest of the house, he comes before God on behalf of. And he speaks on behalf of. Amen. If you don't listen to them, you can't speak for them. If you don't hear from your children, you can't speak for them. That is why communication is such an important part. In the IT industry, I spent hours and hours of programming, hours, you know, just remodeling, changing systems. Those years, of course, the world has changed completely. In fact, right now, they won't allow me into a computer room to sweep the floor. Because it's been so many years that I've left. And my son, he's a business analyst. He can't believe. He works for Sanlam Investments. He said, Daddy, I can't believe that you were a systems analyst. Want wat jij doet is gevaarlijk. That's God's grace. That's God's grace. But how did I get there? Greg? You following me? No, you must sit at the back then. Amen. Just playing with him. But I really want you and I to understand, at the end of the day, God wants a communication with you through each other. You must find yourself in a place where you can hear God. Where you can hear God. I'm going to go back to Genesis because I want to run through these examples and hopefully I'll highlight or emphasize something that God most certainly have spoken to you. I don't claim to have new revelation. I'm here just to highlight some of the things that God has spoken to the church centuries ago. Because we've lost the truth. We don't practice the truth anymore. And somebody bold needs to come up and stand here and declare, wrong is wrong, no is no, right is right, and that we don't compromise on what the Bible has to say. And this is the challenge for many. You know, I'm so thankful I'm almost 60. The only thing I haven't been to is in jail. I've seen everything. Rare, mensen. You know, So it's also nice to look people in the eye. That's my colleagues. That's my friends. I have many a dominie, many a minister friend who comes and see me secretly at home because they don't have the liberty to speak to their colleagues because they read things in Scripture that their denomination is not embracing. It's time that we live our convictions. It's time that we don't just live it, we declare it. Amen. So I want to talk to you, your dads. What gives you the right to be the priest? What gives you the right if you don't speak to her? Now, I'm going to refer to Ross and Magriet, not to make some of you uncomfortable continuously. I know Dale and Karine as well. You got married on the 8th of December, didn't you? Huh? Remember that? Many years ago? 12, 13? 18. Wow, you're just out, ne? Wow. I remember the dates. 3 days after my birthday, just for the record, if you just want to know. Okay, let's go to Genesis because I want to talk to you about what God has to say about your marriage, what God has to say about your house. Because the truth is, it's not your house. On this earth, we are not owners. We are stewards. You will not be here forever. He is here to steward her. You are here to steward that person in your life. And we can apply this to your job situation, but I want to talk specifically about the home and about the house that you need to steward. Let me just say this because I want you to remember this one. You are not here to control or manipulate. By the way, the word manipulate is a grand word for witchcraft. It's nothing else where you want to control somebody else. God doesn't want that close to your home, not close in your methodology, not close when it comes to your children, where you want to control them. So I want to encourage you that you really think about these things. It's important to God. It's important to God that you get this. It's not your house, but you're here to steward. And this is what I wanted to say. You're not here to control. You're here to steward her love. You're here to manage the love that you have for her. She's here to manage the love that she has for you. Coming from a Dutch Reformed background, I'm obviously familiar with Martin Luther, the great father of Reformation. Martin Luther had this to say about marriage. He said, before you marry, you choose whom to love. After you marry, you love your choice. In other words, there comes a time, you know, when Tolle van der Merwe said to his vrou getrouwd, to Lexie, soos 'n namakwa daisy. Achterna was hy 'n cactus. There's no more Tolle's manier om te sê, there's a change in the structure. There's a change in the bodily structure that actually happened there. Like I couldn't resist that one. Sorry, Ross. If I would like to come back tonight. Tonight I'm going to talk about the sacredness of sex. And I'll zoom into that. But that's just me. Sorry. How did I get to Tolle? Love your choice. Tola's not in the book of Revelation. She's nowhere. Sorry. Say again. Yeah. The bottom line is that there comes a time in the marriage that feelings disappear. Here's a scripture I want you to remember when it comes to your feelings. Because we talk about intimacy. We talk about a closeness that you need to cultivate. The Bible says it like this: delight yourself in the Lord, and He gives you the desires of your heart. Listen to it very carefully. Verlustig jou in die Here, en Hy gee jou die begeertes van jou hart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He gives you the desires of your heart. Here's the principle: your attention determines your affection. Your affection doesn't determine your attention. Whatever you pay attention to, that will arouse, that will bring forth affections that you did not even know exists. That you did not even know exist. I remember a story of a pastor that went to buy a lawnmower, a second-hand lawnmower, and he went to the shop, and the lawnmower owner said, "Sir, I actually don't want you to buy this second-hand lawnmower, because this lawnmower doesn't start at the first or the second pull. You must pull it. In fact, this lawnmower makes you swear," he says. So the pastor said, "Man, I'm 26 years in the ministry. Nothing will make me swear." And the guy looked at him and said to him, "That thing makes you remember. After the third pull, you'll find out words that you never thought is there." So delight yourself in the Lord, and He gives you the desires of your heart. Years ago, when I was a young man, we used to tell guys, please ignore Scope magazine. Don't look at the stuff. There's look and there's look. Can I have an amen? The men, you should say amen now. As kyk en as weer kyk. And so you must be very careful what you focus upon, because that will awaken desires in your life. And I pray, God, that you make deliberate choices, like Martin Luther is saying, "I choose whom to love." God gave this lady to me. You know, we have two children, like you've heard earlier on. After the first child, I was there at the birth of both my children. And after the birth, I noticed there's some stretch marks on Renee's body. And she's become a role model. In other words, there's some roles. Amen. Those are my stretch marks. Those are mine. Those are mine. I used to rub them, say, "This is mine. She carries my child. This girl is mine." Especially when I saw, you know, ek het hard groot geword. I know what it means, you know, to go into the deep ocean with a dinghy on its own, without an engine, where I can't see the land. I know what it means to work extremely hard. And I've seen bad things in my life. But when I saw how this lady gave birth, Buddha, women are the only ones man enough to give birth. Amen. It's another story altogether. So I'm throwing a lot of concepts at you because I want you to be deliberate. I will love her. I choose to love her. And when you make the choice, God will follow with desires. There are good choices. There are honorable choices that God is waiting for you to respond to by faith. By faith. Once you're married, I want you to know it is your responsibility to steward the love that God has given you for this lady. You know, you heard me say this continuously as if it's only men that I'm talking to you this morning. Nowhere in the Bible does the scripture say that women ought to love men. Nowhere. It's natural. I saw Margriet on that airport, and I saw she loves this man. And I was so dumb, soos a donkey, you know, for a two-hek, and I thought, "Dear Lord." And I like her, you know, she can drive. This girl can drive a car. You know, stop straat, sometimes a comma, you know. But and we saw that. I want to say to you, you're in good company here. I like the fact that there's older people here, there is younger couples here. It's important that we learn from one another. That we learn from one another. Let me go back and just say to you, one day Jesus will come to your house and ask you, "Dale, what have you done with Corinne that I gave you?" Here's a scripture to remember. Isaiah 8 verse 18. "I and the children whom God has given me are for signs and for wonders. I and the children whom God has given me. So your children are given by God, and your wife is given to you by God. I know this will open a horn's nest. This is challenging, but you know, we don't say this stuff. We don't say this stuff. Here's a scripture that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. In Malachi chapter 2, it says, I hate divorce. I hate it. He doesn't hate the divorcee, but the effects of a separation. God says, I hate because intimacy is lost. This is where God speaks in closeness. This is where God comes closer to you in vulnerability. But when you've hardened your heart, let me tell you, you won't hear God's voice. You're deceived. If you harden your heart towards your spouse and think you can hear God's voice, He hates the effect it has on our society. He hates the effect that it has on our children. Many, many couples I've seen, many, many children I've seen. I had brothers and sisters and family members who have been divorced and they carry on. They carry on. Now, God is a God of grace. God is a God that forgives. So I'm not here to condemn you. If you've been through that experience, the prodigal son story is for a reason, the most well-known story in the Bible. That God is a God of another chance, isn't that so? That is what he's trying to say. So I don't want you to run around here with condemnation. But it's not the best choice. So I want to encourage you that you make the best. I was in my 20s, early. In fact, I was not even 20. I was serving the Lord as a teenager. And God spoke to my heart because I've seen the devastation of divorce everywhere in family members. If I ask you here this morning, how many of you have family members that are divorced? Almost everyone will raise their hands. Why? Because divorce has been proclaimed as a solution. While God said you can work. This is why what we're doing here this morning is so important. That we can come back and find a solution. That we can find love once again. This is what God is sharing with all of us. And I want you to hear my heart here this morning. This is not condemnation. This is to inspire you. You can do this again. We can recover. You can be restored. It's a godly principle. Restoration, recovering. And God wants to do that for you and for me. In the first chapter of Genesis, and I'm only starting to preach now. Can you believe it? No. I'll be merciful. I'll run through some of the things I believe the Lord wants me to share with you this morning. This is to me, it's an impartation. I have learned lessons. I've done many things wrong. Yes, I've never been unfaithful to my wife sexually. Never. And I'll share about that tonight. But you know, sometimes we're not there, even in bed. We're somewhere else. We're somewhere else. The book of Genesis give us three expressions. Sometimes we choose the one that suits us. Genesis says everything God did was good. And then God comes and he made man. Then God used a different expression. And God saw that it was very good. Look at your spouse and say, very good. Amen. I've heard some other expressions from Renee. You know, in the beginning, when I misbehaved, she didn't say very good. You and I must understand this is how God sees you. This is how God sees man. He made us in his likeness and his image. But when it came to marriage, God used a different expression altogether. And this is what I want you to embrace. I don't want you to be satisfied with good. I don't want you to be satisfied with very good. I want you to be satisfied with God's expression. This is what verse 22 says. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. God blessed them. There's good, there's very good, and then there's blessed. That's why you don't go to the courts to get married. You make God known. You give God a message. I want to get married in the presence of the believers. I want to get married in the presence of a man of God who are here to unite us. Because that's where you acknowledge God and he puts his blessing upon you. What is blessing? Blessing is an impartation of power that allows you to operate optimally as a husband. What is a husband? It's a man that binds the house together. Husband. He binds the house together. Something happens when you get married. God says, the two shall become one. And your desire shall be for your man. She's a professional woman. She's almost finished with her speciality. As om die draai, moenie bekommerd wees nie, is natuurlik hoekom sy hand op gerig het. Here, help my. Ladies, listen to me. This is not chauvinism. This is, now you got all your gears up. The day that you get married, God downloads a vulnerability into your heart for your man. And you ought to cover her. You ought to cover her. She must feel secure in your love. She must feel secure in your provision. She must feel secure. She must feel it. Ladies, God didn't give you the feeling, as you've heard from many pulpits, as a negative experience. No, she must feel safe. But here's what I want you to remember, what happens the day that you're married, and if you haven't really thought about it, that you claim that today. You make that your own. Because something happens when the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon binding and uniting you. No other man has the anointing that I have to satisfy Renee. I don't care how attractive they are, how highly qualified they are. Renee is she's now acting vice principal of a high school. And she rubs shoulders with many men. Many men. She's been teaching for 30 years as well. She's a good-looking lady. How many of you have seen the picture? Amen. Good choice, eh? I'm not too bad either. Amen. No, just playing. But you look at these other guys, and ladies, I want you to remember this year today, because we run into unnecessary thoughts and suspicions that literally erodes the trust, that erodes the relationship that God has given you. You're anointed to satisfy this man. So you walk into the presence when there's functions with other ladies, work functions. You walk into their presence and say, I am Ross's wife. Almost said Ross's husband. Hey, Ross, sorry for that. I am Ross's wife. I am a Chris husband. But when you say that, you must know I'm anointed like no other man to satisfy this lady. Inferiority doesn't stand a chance. You must know the truth, and the truth sets you free. You must know the truth, and the truth sets you free. Oh, I wish I can say this 1,000 times over, for I've counseled so many men over many years, all races. The truth, knowing the truth. That's why we proclaim it. The last verse, say the last verse of the book of Mark says this. They preached the word and God confirmed it with signs following. God confirmed the word that is preached. You need to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. And then God confirms it with the necessary signs. I'm anointed to husband Renee. I'm anointed. So when I was in my 20s, you heard me started telling that story. When I heard that God hates this, when I heard what marriage was all about, I made a decision. Say a decision. I made a decision. I will never divorce in the name of Jesus Christ. Never. Never, ever, never. And I wanted the devil to hear. I wanted spirits that curses that people spread. I wanted everyone to hear, because this is the will of God. This is the word of God. And Jesus say that the word of God is what you overcome the enemy with. So I declared, I will never divorce. And so, does that relieve you from temptation? No, temptation comes to every one of us. But that door, I closed when I was 18, 19 years old. I got married when I was 29. And did she challenge me? You know, I'm 7 years older than my wife. I'm the oldest son in our family. Niemand praat terug vir my nie. Ek is die oudste seun, you know. When I bark, everybody jumps. My parents died now. I've got a sister older than me, but everybody listens to me. So I got used to this sort of authority. Renee is the baby of 10. En sy praat terug. She talks back. I thought, what do we have here? You know. And all of a sudden, I understand. This is a different dynamic. This is the lady that stands next to me. Next to me. On my side. On my side. She is my school of character. I'm anointed today because she allowed me to be anointed. Gisteraand so lekker uitval ook gehad. Nou sê ek vir haar, ek moet môre preek by Rossel en nou stry jy wragtig met my. How must I feel tomorrow? And I say to her, you, can we get over this now? Then she said, you're transactional. She business economics, so that's the term she used. You're transactional. She said, I want to feel you say you're sorry. So I said, I'm sorry. You know, 1 Peter chapter 3 speaks to me. Say, my prayers won't be answered. Tomorrow's preaching won't be good. Ross, goes through your mind. And I said, I'm sorry, darling. I'm really sorry. So, 3 o'clock this morning, I was awake. Of course, I think of what needs to be shared here and what God wants to download into your house, into your life. And I could hear she's moving next to me. Then I realized, okay. And I prayed for her. And then I said with a different tone of voice, Pop, I'm really sorry. And to say, daar say. Ay, man. Ay.
I asked the Lord that I would stay 1,000 miles from her in heaven. Because she'll remind me that she helped me to get there.
There's no relationship as satisfying. There's no relationship as satisfying. There's no relationship as challenging. There's no relationship that takes hard work, because she's female and you're male. And my wife was a Van der Linde, and I'm a Corizon. Got a little bit of Italian blood in me as well. You know, and the two worlds collide. And you need to manage the conflict. Conflict in itself is not evil. You're bound to differ. You must differ. You have different opinions. You have different frames of reference. It's a religious spirit that tells you you're not supposed to differ. But you need to manage your differences. That's another story at another time. But I pray, God, that you say to yourself here this morning, I am blessed. I have been blessed by God. I've been empowered to succeed in this marriage. Now, there's a man that God came to. His name was Abram. Ross, is 5 past 11. Can I take 10 more minutes? That means 15 minutes. I'll take 10 more minutes because I want you to hear some of the things that I have to say about sex and sexuality, more so tonight than I want to speak about it this morning. But I really believe the things that I'm sharing with you this morning, they are doors that opens to a trust relationship. They are doors that opens to a sensitivity and the respect and the regard into your life. That where you make a choice, I don't want without her. I want to walk with her. I want to walk with him. I want to live with him. I want to grow old with her. Those are the things that I really believe God wants to hear from your heart. From your heart. Now, God came to Abram. He came to Abram in a tent, just like he came to Adam in the Garden of Eden. It was his dwelling place. It was the place where he and where they lived. Well, nowadays, we have these garden weddings, and you see how the father comes with the lady, you know, down the aisle. That was taken out of the Garden of Eden, where God brought Eve to Adam. Don't forget that, men. When you see the father walking there, you see he's representing God. God brought Eve to Adam. But this is important for me that you understand that God comes to you, to your house, to your dwelling place. I notice how Jesus came to people's homes in the New Testament. He came to people, you know, in fact, he said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, get off the tree, I want to be in your house today. When Peter's mother-in-law was sick, he went to their house. One of the reasons I call my own assembly Bethany Christian Church, because Bethany was the place where Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were dwelling. They were the friends of Jesus. That's where he stayed. It was his home. And so I can mention the Pharisee where Jesus went to his house as well. And I really want you to understand, you know, there's something about God that is obsessed about your oikos. Your oikos is the Greek word for your house. Your house is not just your estate. God is as comfortable in a pondoki as he is in a palace. Amen. There's a huge explanation that you can actually delve into and understand. What is a home? Yes, it is real estate, but it's also relationships. A home is also your sphere of influence. It includes your working environment as well, because God has placed you where you work. And this is interesting because God comes to Adam, to his place of work and to his place of dwelling. I asked the Lord years ago, Lord, why do you have these pictures that you want to come into people's homes? Because as a child, I grew up with Revelation 3:20 on a picture. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Why do you have these pictures? Why do you want to get into people's homes? And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart one day and he said to me, in your house, you are real. The real you lives in your house. I'm after the real you. When the Stormers play well, you see a misbehaving pastor. Amen. When the referee does wrong, you see a misbehaving pastor. That's the real William Corizon. I'm the one who weeps. I'm the one who cries. I'm the one who intercedes. I'm the one who corrects. I'm the one who disciplines. I'm the one who serves my wife. That's the real William Corizon. Because I'm after the real you. I want to get into your space. I want to get into your face. I want to get into your home. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. I want the real you. We can perform here. What I preach here, I preach at home. My children knows nothing, no difference. Hulle het vanoggend vir my gesê, "Daddy moet nou nie gaan teach nie. Jy's nie 'n teacher nie." You can't explain, but you can. You're an exhorter. So that's what I'm doing. I'm downloading information into your hearts here this morning so that you can be built up, so that you can have hope, so that you can run with it. Because what I know, what I've experienced, the Bible says the glory of the latter shall be greater than the glory of the former. So we teach you things that I want you to make your own. Take it and make it your own. Make it your own. I realize in my house, my wife is my friend. Yes, she's my lover, but she's my friend. She is my confidant. I trust her more than I trust any pastor, any other man that I know. She's my confidant. My children, I raise up to become my friends. My son, you'll see tonight, is bigger than me. When we walk in Tiger Valley, by the way, ladies, you can stand in the queue tonight to give me some funds if you want to become my father, you know, daughter-in-law. We can talk. He's an attractive guy. He's a godly man. But you know, in Tiger Valley, he walks around. He's 26 now in a few months' time, but he walks with his arm around me because we're friends. I don't want him to call another senior leader, even in church, his friend or his best friend. I want to take that space. Nathan must become your best friend. Male friend. She's one. Amen. He wants to come into your house. He wants to come into your house. He wants to come into your house. He wants to be part of your relationship. Your intimate relationship. He wants to be part of you raising your kids. I want you to hear the heart of God. Behold, see, I'm standing at the door this morning, knocking, asking you, may I please come in? Whether you're married or single, I want you to know God wants to be part of your house. He wants to be part of your professional life, your aspirations that you have. Where you work, he wants to be part of that. We talk about intimacy. We're talking about giving God a message here this morning. I learned this from the two men of Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. They walked with Jesus, just like many of us walked with Jesus. And they had revelations. They said afterwards, didn't our hearts burn? I'm sure you sat here and your hearts were burning with revelation, with excitement. When you listen to a song, when you read the scriptures, your hearts were burning. But Jesus made as if he walked past their house. You go read that scripture. He made as if he wanted to walk past. And they insisted. Say insisted. They say, no, you must come in. No, you must please come in. Please come in. Please, please. Don't go on. Please come in. That's when God responds. How serious are you to let him in? Please come in, Lord. Please, please come in. Yes, I'm still learning how to speak to my wife. Yes, I'm still learning how to raise my children, but please come in. Please come in. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Let him come in and dwell with you. Where you talk with him. I talked to my the Lord about the guys that Karen dated. I said to him, Lord, you know, the guy looks good, wonderful, but I don't have peace about it. Because I involve him, he gives feedback. Jesus is a gentleman. Contrary to what many churches today profess, yes, he is the military leader. He is the King of Kings. I understand all of those concepts. But I want you to know he's also tender-hearted. He's tender-hearted. And I invite him into my life. I invite him into my home. And he comes and share This is what the Bible says in Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call on me and I will answer you. Here's what call means. Ross. 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 There's a level of seriousness. Give Jesus a message. Lord. 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 There's a degree of seriousness. Please, you must help. I don't understand this man. I don't understand this lady. And Jesus comes and say, well, I do. Let's work on this one. How desperate are you for him to come in? How vulnerable are you determined to be? We don't know everything, people. I've been married. I dated my wife 5 years. 5 years. 5 years too long. If you date more than 5 years, you must come and kneel out here. You're wasting somebody's time. Amen. Dated her 5 years and got married to her, of course, 30-odd years ago. But I only know in part. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. The love chapter. God is very deliberate where he puts these scriptures. In the love chapter, 13 verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Twice he says in 1 Corinthians 13. Here we know in part. You only know so much. So you have, I have a lot to learn. You have a lot to learn. About love, about communication, about trustworthiness. I'll close up with this because I believe this is important, that God wants you to get across to your spouse, that God wants you to get across to him. Priorities tell somebody else or tell that specific object or institution how valuable they are. Priorities. Please do yourself a favor, go read Luke chapter 6. I wanted to read that. But it's a very interesting scenario where God, where Jesus spent time with his father. First with his father. Here's Jesus' level of priorities. First the Lord. Then his disciples. His disciples he divides into three, into different categories. I'll name it from the highest to the lowest. The 500, the 70, the 12, the 3, and the 1. John was the 1. Peter, James, and John was the 3. The 12 was the 12 disciples. The 70 is the ones that they send out. And the 500 is the ones in 1 Corinthians 15 that he appeared to. You know what is sad? Is that of the 500... only 120 turned up at Pentecost. You saw this here today on the screen. 10 days of prayer. And I believe the Lord is speaking to you here this morning. This is the time of Pentecost. There's 50 days since the resurrection. 40 days till the ascension. Then the 10 days from the ascension till Pentecost. You know, and that was a promise that God made to the people of Israel. This is a promise Jesus made. 10 is a test. Wait. Wait. It's a test. 10 commandments is a test. 10 plagues is a test. 10 days that Daniel fasted is a test. 10 virgins. It's a test. God will test you. And he's testing you. Are you just saying, this is just a wonderful experience that we've had this morning, that he's challenged us, maybe he said some controversial things. God is testing you. What are you going to do with what you've heard? That is the test. That you make an effort with what you've heard. Information without application will never lead to transformation. But information with application leads to transformation. I want you, the things that I spoke here this morning that really spoke to your heart, that spoke to your heart. Didn't our hearts burn, those men said in Luke 24. Didn't our hearts burn the stuff that burned this morning? You say to yourself, I'm going to apply that. I'm going to investigate that. Because this is what the devil does. He steals the word out of your heart. And you and I become fruitless. I pray, God, that you hear my heart here this morning. This evening I'm going to talk to you about a sex-saturated society. These were the first words to man. This is now when God enters into the house. Now he gets away from friendship. Now he gets into your marriage bed. And this is what I'm going to talk about tonight. The first words to men was, if I could translate it just like the King James say, it would sound like this. And God blessed Ross and said, have sex with your wife. Amen. But the world has stolen that word and defiled it. And the church is silent about it. And we don't talk to our children about it. And we sit with a promiscuous society because we have neglected to speak about sex from God's perspective. God blessed them and said, have sex. But we come with religious terminology and we say, God blessed him and said, be fruitful. Amen. I used to joke with my wife, you know, during our intimate time, our time of pleasure. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. So what about the will of God? Amen. You didn't catch that. Because it's the will of God for us to be together. I believe the Lord wants to speak to you about the sacredness and the beauty of sex and how God has placed judgment on any other form of sexual contact outside of marriage. Every other form of sexual application outside of marriage, outside the two of them, is judged, is cursed. What does it mean to be cursed? It means to be empowered to fail. What does it mean to be blessed? To be empowered to succeed. And I believe tonight we can highlight more the sexual, where you can understand it's beautiful. There's no reason to be shameful. God wants you to hear it, and God wants you to embrace it, because that's what he always wanted for your home. Comes into your house. Now he says, Liesl, I want to bless you and Yaku with a fulfilled sexual life. He made us. Why not listen to him? Amen. God bless.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.